Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis. Comment ça va? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien tonight. Listen, darlings, it's Mummy, Sybil Brunchen, and I'm coming to you live right now all around the world. Imagine, simultaneously, we are doing a podcast, and our podcast, of course, as it is every Monday night, is Come Now, Don't Sulk. That's part of the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we're lucky to be part of the Here Be Monsters studio. And I'm joined tonight, although in a different part of the country, because we're all on remotes now, we're not in the same studio, but I'm joined by my wonderful producer and by the founder of our sponsor, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwen, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm good. How are you, Mommy?
Darling, for those of you that are regular viewers or listeners, I should say, because we will be doing a view version of this eventually, if Gwen and I don't commit suicide because of the February blahs before that, you could hear in Gwen's voice and in mine when we said, how are you doing? And that perky sort of podcast chat voice. We're both, oh, darlings. Darlings, it's our job as celebrities to entertain and divert you, but Gwen and I are running on fumes, to be perfectly honest. Our gas tanks are, our spiritual gas tanks are just about empty.
I love Lauren Rex.
I poured some Chanel No. 5 and some Woolite into my gas tank tonight to try and keep the alcohol content up. And I smell wonderful, but I don't know that I'm working on all my pistons. Anyway, this is Come Now, Don't Sulk. And strangely enough, that's a title that, now Gwen, there you go. We both have to use that. Gwendolyn, come now, don't sulk. And you need to say it back to me. Mummy, come now, don't sulk. We are exhausted between Mercury and retrograde and, oh, just 4 years of that monkey pudding. And even though he's gone, it's just, and President Joe is trying his very hardest to bolster all of us. And Anthony Fauci, my goodness, he's finally found his tongue. He's finally being more outspoken. You know, I wish he'd grown a dick back when he was, you know, working with Donald Trump and it like turned on him. On Trump and on that idiot Doris Burke or whatever her name was. Anyway, we're here and we're in our separate studios. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Philadelphia on the main line, and Gwen, of course, is coming from Port St. Lucie, where it's also 30 degrees or whatever down there.
It is chilly.
And
yeah.
It's chilly, but not like Texas. But we'll get into that
in
a minute.
No.
Oh, God. I want to remind everyone that our sponsors tonight, as every week, are daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And we're also brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you. Our phone number, if you'd like to call in, and Gwendolyn and I would love if you would call in tonight, is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Call in, and if you're feeling blah and bored and blah, 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 the February blahs, do call in. Many of us are suffering from the why bother blues, in this latter half of winter. Even with March around the corner and spring, you know, promised, it's like we got another snowstorm today in Philadelphia. And so we have snow on top of snow on top of snow. Is it pretty? Very. Is there dirty snow around? No. A fresh blanket has covered all of that. It's just that it's a little bit too much. It's a little too much. So if you're feeling blah, join us. If you're feeling perky, please join us. We're ready to talk about recipes or new litters of kittens or the macrame potholders you're making with grandma or anything you'd like to talk about tonight. Before we start, though, before we get a phone call, I just want to ask Gwendolyn, who, of course, is the founder of daughtersofisis.com. Daughters of Isis, for those of you that are new viewers, this is a house that works with essential oils and incredible fragrances to awaken your spiritual side, your intellectual side, your philosophical, your metaphysical side, all of it. And Gwendolyn, if ever, I know Mercury went forward again, who the fuck cares? But because it's not doing a very good job. Frankly, Mercury is not doing a very good job going forward. But what is a fragrance that we might look for on your website tonight to purchase to get us back on track into a happier place?
Well, spring is approaching. And one of the best things I could recommend right now is our house blessing mist. Using herbs, roots, flowers, and resins traditionally to make a sacred space, but also to cleanse it from dead energy and to keep it feeling nice and cleansed. And just for the house and the house energy, because all homes have an energy that's almost a whole different being than who lives in it and whatnot. So just for the house, to cleanse the uninvited and clearing residual emotional dross and, a generous and safe home space. And this is a blend that's made of some wonderfully grounding oak moss and patchouli mixture with amoise or mugwort in Fenugreek. And we have some CO2 coconut in there and Spanish sage.
Oh, I love that.
And it's a kind of a nutty, earthy, grounding scent that on top of everything has this purging, sagey, cleanse it all out. Woof.
And how should people use it when they purchase it? How should they use it in a diffuser?
It comes in a mist or an oil. In an oil, they can use it in a water vapor, aromatherapy lamp. Or they can get the mist and give it a shake and spray in the house. We don't use any kind of, there's the word that just ran out of my head. Nothing too. It's just water, flower essences, and essential oils. We don't use anything to disperse our oils in the water at all or to settle them.
One thing that I remember that I remembered it the other day, and I wanted to make a note of it and tell you, I knew a lady many years ago who had a beautiful townhouse on the Upper West Side. She had gorgeous draperies, and what she used to do, incredible draperies. Her home was just a treasure trove. It was like a museum. But what she did was that she had double height windows. She had like French doors and double height windows in this beautiful turn of the century townhouse in the West 70s. On the West 80s, right on Riverside Drive. And she used to take an atomizer and she would have fragrances in atomizers. And she would go to her windows and she would spray the liner of the draperies. So in other words, she wouldn't spray it on the front where the silk and the embroidery was in case it would stain it or wreck it, but she would spray it on the inside of the liners facing the glass on Riverside Drive. So at sunset, when the sun would be moving over into the west and it would be then over Riverside Drive and the Hudson River, she would spray it. And because it was on the draperies and the windows were open, and the breeze would come in, her house would be filled with this wonderful fragrance, and you wouldn't know how it was happening. You wouldn't know because it was diffused in such a magical way. And it wasn't going outside. It was coming inside because the breezes would come off Riverside Park, and they would blow into her house. Oh, my goodness. And I'd forgotten that was such a wonderful way, was to spray it on draperies or on throw pillows or as you say, in a diffuser. And by the way, I want to remind everyone, because this is something that Gwendolyn taught me. When you have a diffuser with a little votive candle or whatever, you don't put the essential oils or the fragrance in the basin with the flame touching it. You put a little water in the basin and then you drip some of the oil. You put some of the fragrance in that water. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that's how it maintains its vitality and gives you true bouquet. Anything else is burning the oils. And oh gosh, don't
exactly.
Ever
that's
use
what I just want.
Any of those,
but that's because so
lettering.
Many people don't know that. People who even buy those diffusers don't read the directions. And what they do is they think, oh, I just put it in the basin over the votive candle. And that's what I do. And then they don't understand why there's like this black sort of tarry stain in the basin and the fragrance may not have diffused properly or may actually smell acrid. And it's, no, you put some water in that basin and then you put some of the fragrance in there and it diffuses beautifully.
And what you really have to stay away from, never use, is those awful, anything to do with a light bulb or lamp ring or anything, never use them. They're dangerous. And they just burn oil too. Plus, if anything, you know, like putting a drop of essential oil on a light bulb, oh my God, that's that's bad.
Yes.
but another way that you can work with scent too is to, if you have shards of pottery, especially if you work with a garden or anything and you break a clay pot, you should keep those little shards of pottery because you can put a couple of drops of essential oil on a piece of pottery and put it in an ashtray or dish in your parlor or your living room or your, you know, office. And the scent will last for quite a while.
Right. So it almost becomes like a terracotta wick, if you will.
Yeah.
Because it's holding this fragrance and it's releasing it gradually. Yes, that would be very nice. That would be very nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So remind us again one more time the name of the fragrance that we should be looking for tonight.
Well, I'm suggesting our house blessing. It's called House Blessing. And
great.
You'll find
I want
it,
you to just say it again.
You'll find it under our mists and sprays most easily.
And remember, folks, when you go to daughtersofisis.com, they have like 500 products. So you'll have died and gone to heaven. I mean, there's just endless numbers of things there, and it's a wonderful place. I want to remind you that our phone number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. We haven't gotten a call yet, so I guess we should talk about a couple of things. You know, it's very easy in February. And again, it's tricky talking about this because Gwendolyn's version of February is okay without COVID catastrophe going on, without the COVID catastrophe, people in Florida, for instance, in the Keys and in Hawaii, well, Hawaii is a different issue completely. South of the United States, this is their high tourist season. Now, granted, you don't have the same tourist season that you normally would, but Gwendolyn and I have joked about this. You know, in June, July, and August, their area of the country empties out, although their quote-unquote down season is still orchids growing in palm trees. So how depressing can it actually be? You know, it's not exactly the most horrifying thing. As a matter of fact, I have lots of friends in Florida and the Keys who rejoice when all the sunbirds or the snowbirds or whatever you want to call them leave.
That's right.
And leave Florida. It's like, you know, I have friends that think that July and August in Florida is hot, is wonderful to go down and visit. How much hotter can it be? It isn't. And you have hotels to yourself and everything. So, you know, I've gone to Key West and to Fort Lauderdale in June and July and August. And, you know, I'm in the ocean or the pool, and it's wonderful because you're not fighting, you know, college spring break crowds. You're not fighting, you know, tourists down there at all. Having said that, it's the depressing feeling that a lot of people have right now in February has a lot more to do with other issues, which we'll get to in a second. Up here in the north, where I am, you know, Pennsylvania, New York, the New England area, Michigan, up Wisconsin and Minnesota, the Dakotas, everything. It's brutal. And this winter has been an especially brutal one weather-wise. I guess the only thing we can really look forward to is that there's no chance of a drought here in the Northeast this summer. Reservoirs are completely filled with, you know, this snowfall. and rainfall that we've been having. I mean, it's this spring will be so green. I can imagine that Central Park will be absolutely emerald green by April 1st. And I remember other years when I was living in New York still, when Central Park in the spring barely got green. It was like there had been very little snowfall. There had been a drought the summer before. And so that spring, with the reservoirs, you know, empty and the ground devoid of water, the poor trees were trying to bud in March and April, and they were struggling. No chance of that this year. The Northeast, New England, New York, there is so much water. There is so much snow. It is just, it'll be lovely. It'll be lovely. But unless you're a skier.
Is it still snowing?
It stopped finally today, but we might still get some. But we got a significant snowfall today. But unless you're a child who loves snowmen and snow forts, or someone who goes, sledding or skiing, it can be wearing. It can be very, very wearing. Now, for me, you know, a year ago, I had no idea that I was going to be living in Pennsylvania a year from then. If someone had come to me February 22nd of last year, and like fairy godmother, like Glinda from The Wizard of Oz, and she had shown me a photograph of the front of the house I'm living in, this cute little townhouse, and a car, and she said, "Now, Sybil, I can't tell you any details about this photograph, but I'm just showing you something that's kind of cute, and I won't be able to tell you anything, but look at this. And just know that this is going to be something that's very important to you in the future." I wouldn't have had any idea. I would have thought, well, am I visiting someone? Is a good friend of mine living there? Or what possibly could that be? We had no idea that a year from February 22nd, 2020, 500,000 Americans would be dead from a disease. We did not know that. George and I didn't know that we would have left New York and moved, bought a car, moved to the suburbs of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. This whole adventure has been extraordinary. And, boys and girls, this is the one thing that keeps me from being truly morose this February, because I have to say that when so much of the rest of the world has been struggling above and beyond, I mean, forget the loss of health, forget the loss of loved ones to COVID, forget the loss of career and money and all of that and security to COVID. The rest of the world has just been in such angst and anguish in so many ways. George and I feel humbly, by the way, humbly, that we have won the lottery. We have not only triumphed the way someone might in a normal world, but in a COVID world, we have been so, so, so very, very lucky. And we are thankful and grateful every night when we say goodnight about that. We are so grateful. So that's one way that I try to get out of my blahs. And I have to learn my own advice, which I give all of you all the time on my Tourette's, which is to be present, to be mindful, and to be grateful, to be present to the world around you. We're always present to the scuffed knee or the stubbed toe. We're always present to the pain, the toothache, the headache, the dented fender, you know, the slip on the ice. We're always present to the bad things, but we've got to be equally present to the good things. We've got to somehow, whether it's in a journal or on an inspiration board on your desk or something, you've got to write down the things that are lovely each day. And not only the things that are consistently lovely, like a good marriage or a loyal kitty or dog, or, you know, the fact that you're a great cook and made a great lunch that day, the things that you do every day, but the things that are windfalls. The friend that calls you out of nowhere and you haven't heard from them in a couple of years, that's a windfall. The fact that you're walking down the street with your mask on and you're going grocery shopping and you find a $10 bill in the gutter, that's a windfall. You've got to be present to those things, folks, because it's ungrateful. It's rude to the universe not to say, to be present to good news, to the lovely thing. The second thing is to be mindful. Being present means that you perceive those things, that you're present to them. Mindful means that you go beyond that. And mindful means that you think about them and you feel them. You hold those emotions to your heart. You say, I saw this, and this is what it means to me, and this is how I cherish it, and this is how I function and live with these events in my life, with these good events, even with the bad events. Be mindful. Be mindful. Pay attention to them philosophically and spiritually. Really, don't just see and hear and taste and smell them. Then take them in. Take them in. It's like Gwendolyn's fragrances. It's not enough that you smell them. It's what they alert you to and what they arouse in you. Okay? Next, I'm going to sneeze. When talking about fragrances, and there I am sneezing. Yes, Mummy doesn't have a very ladylike sneeze. Thank you for telling me. You don't need to write in. No, don't call in and say, Mummy sneezes like a dock worker. Yes, I do. That's true. Lastly, be grateful. Be present, be mindful, and be grateful. And every night I think and reflect on and then say thank you to the adventures that I'm having. And this adventure of moving to the suburbs of Philadelphia during a record-breaking winter snowfall, my neighbors all around me in this wonderful cul-de-sac in this development, they're all saying, well, you know, Sybil, last year we had no snow at all. And it was true. In New York, I don't think we had any snowfall at all. So this year, when I moved here, they were saying, oh, don't worry about shoveling. There's no snow here. Well, we're all out laughing our heads off week after week after week after week. We've had like 8 major snowstorms, like a conga line of them, a marching, you know, parade of them. But I've fallen in love with winter again. Not since I was little have I had so much fun with the beauty of snow. Whether I'm waking up to it and looking out my bedroom window and it's snowing over the hillside and down into the other streets of this development, you know, I'm up on a hill and up on a rise looking down on the other streets and everything, or at night, is there anything more beautiful? You could be in the dumpiest or the scariest or the slummiest neighborhood, but snow swirling around a street lamp is paradise. It's heaven, absolute heaven. It's like the most beautiful Hollywood movie you've ever seen. I've gone out walking in this neighborhood and around these hills and these woods that I live in at night with the snow swirling. It just transports me. So you have to be present, mindful, and then grateful for the things that are happening. And yes, even winter. And I know we have listeners in Texas who are going through terrible things. And certainly when you have palm trees in Houston, yeah. I mean, when you're living in a nearly tropical place like Dallas and Houston and, you know, the along the Gulf, and you're getting snow and storms and roofs are collapsing. Yeah. Obviously you're not going to stroll through the snow and feel grateful, but find things that you can be present and mindful and grateful for. Getting on that track and off the one I'm talking about, this past week and what Texas has been through, you know, it's hard as a blue state person not to gloat. And of course, the choices that Texans have made in their governors and senators and ecologically and fossil fuel wise and everything, and rejecting renewable energy, actually getting in the way of wind energy and solar panels. No state in the country has been more antagonistic and more thwarting to homeowners trying to get solar energy on their rooftops. They actually punish them for wanting to do this stuff. So it's hard not to point and laugh at Texas and the ruin that Texas has been going through now. And we can only say that blue voters in Texas, we're very sorry for you, and red voters in Texas, we pity you. for your foolishness and your suicidal choices.
The energy companies own Texas, and people are getting electric bills for no electric that are stunningly high.
In the thousands, yes, because they're on that, yes, that payment plan thing.
And it's just absolutely, it's shameful what's going on there. And then for the governor to go on Fox, which is, by the way, not a news channel. It's for fun and entertainment for the, conservative crowd.
For the Nazi party. I mean, I'm not going to split hairs anymore. For the American Nazis, for American Nazis, Fox is a dream come true. And Governor Abbott got on there and has been spreading everything but QAnon, you know, conspiracy stuff. I mean, he's just a liar. He's a filthy, dirty liar. And the two senators from that state are filthy, dirty liars. And I'm dying, Gwen. I should have called into the Sunday show last night because I would love to know what Wayne, I would love to know what they thought too. Who was it that got Ted Cruz to turn on a dime so fast and even to apologize? Was it that, you know, was it Mitch McConnell called him up and literally used every C and F obscenity in the book on him? Was it Donald Trump who might have said, listen, you have gone beyond the beyond the beyond the beyond. In the situation that we are now in, your foolishness about Cancun is so Gibraltar-sized, it's so gigantic that you are ruining our chances of coming back and being any kind of a GOP at all. I'm dying to know. It's like one of a thousand conversations. I wish I was a fly on the wall and could overhear. I'd love to know what's being said in Trump's private home. I'd love to know what was said to Ted Cruz. Did Ted Cruz's wife get a come to Jesus moment? Who was it who said to him, dear God, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? And
what
made him turn around and get in the airport.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then to blame his daughters. To blame his daughters.
Yeah,
the girls wanted me.
That was a stellar moment, wasn't it? Just
yeah. But what I'm stunned by, what I'm stunned by is that he did for Ted Cruz. Okay, so don't jump all over me. I love my viewers. They like suddenly jump on things that I say without listening to the whole sentence. It's like they read one sentence but don't read the rest of the paragraph and then are raking me over the coals because they're too stupid to read. What I'm saying about Ted Cruz is this. I want to be very clear. He's a jackass. He's a monster, okay? But he did, for Ted Cruz, turn around and come back rather quickly and then find a way to apologize fairly well, given that it's Ted Cruz. I'm dying to know what PR agency, who was it? Was it Donald Trump? Who, you know, was someone there who said, I don't care what you do, abjectly apologize?
I think it was probably his campaign manager. You know, who else would make that call? It'd have to.
But so many of these politicians have idiot campaign managers or personal assistants because they continue to do these shocking things. Shocking. I mean, the whole trial. Donald Trump's trial was a tragedy. It, you know, it was a travesty. There are still people who have barely acknowledged that Joe Biden won the election. I mean, John Cornyn. This is a nightmare. A nightmare. Rand Paul. Oh, my God. Lindsey Graham. Graham. These people continue to adhere to the most incredible stupidity. So I really am curious, how did Ted Cruz figure out that he really, really had blown it? Obviously, you know, there's no apology possible.
Let's face it, he was all over, massively all over Twitter with photos of him, videos of him in the plane being an idiot. I mean, it was all over. all over TikTok, which gets a lot of look-sees. I mean, I watch it at, late at night. It makes me laugh.
He is the Marie Antoinette of the 21st century. He is Texas's answer to Marie Antoinette, which is why there's all that Photoshop stuff of him with Marie Antoinette's hair on and a slow, you know, the caption is "Let them eat snow." I mean, it's just shocking. The timing was beyond offensive and stupid.
It truly was. And then for the Texas governor to say it was all about the Green New Deal at fault. And, you know, what it is those energy companies in Texas did not, I don't know, Wayne was describing it yesterday because he's an engineer and that's his job. What he works on is the energy grid. And he said, you know, they're not insulated properly. They went the cheap route on everything, get away with murder in Texas and have for 50 years. In the energy industry. And I mean, you see, I've been in February driving on the coast of Denmark and those windmills are running great. They are Alaska. They are in Minnesota. They're running great everywhere but Texas. And it was just incredible. It was just incredible that, and I mean, some of the pictures that people were tweeting and posting on social media of the water coming into the house and freezing in mid, you know, up from the ceiling down, broken pipes that were dripping. And in the night, the water froze into icicles because there was no energy in the house. I mean, incredibly.
Well, and those pipes. You know, for people who've never suffered that or haven't ever known anyone like that, when your pipes freeze and explode, you're talking about pipes. If you've ever seen pipes do that, they're many times you replumb a house. It's not just one spot here or there. Sometimes you have whole sections of plumbing that have exploded at the joints, and even the pipe shaft itself can split depending on the age of the pipes and what's going on. You're talking about in some cases, it would be better to tear the house down because when you start opening all the walls and ceilings and floors, in addition to the water damage to the wood, to the particle board, to the sheetrock, to the structure of the house, to the electrical, then you also have situations with fires. You have fires where the water has hit electrical lines, or once it thaws, you know, and the power comes back on, you have a short circuit, and then it hits the gas line or whatever. It is an unending mess.
We do have a caller waiting, so. I'll open the phone lines up. Go ahead, caller.
Well, this is incredibly good-looking but exceptionally modest F. Wayne Johnson calling in.
I thought I recognized that. Thanks.
Is it Wayne?
It is Wayne, and we're talking about all the things that go wrong with the improper use of energy during extreme weather.
Well, I was going to say, this is my wheelhouse. This is what I get paid very well to do, dealing the electrical infrastructure grid and basically the self-inflicted shortcomings that Texas decided to go alone and not be part of the national grid. You know, I can elaborate on that. Plus, too, is I've built plenty of houses and done my own plumbing and stuff. So I can, you know, concur with everything you say.
I think it's so ironic that, and I posted this the other day, and I've been saying it, it's not enough that these people are evil, like Ted Cruz, it's that they're stupid. You see, I adhere to the 19th century, the Snidely Whiplash school of villains in vaudeville. I have liked villains, but in literature and in film and in theater, I like Charles Dickens' villains. But in the old days, we didn't have banal as, you know, we didn't have, what was it, Hannah Arendt. Wasn't she the one who said that the tragedy of Hitler and evil in the 20th century is that it all turned out to be so banal or banal, as the case may be, you know, for the double entendre. It became evil by dullards. It's evil by stupid people. There's nothing grand. There isn't a Hannibal Lecter among them. You know, they're evil, but they plod. They're plodders, and they're oafs. So their villainy is the villainy of someone who trudges through a barnyard and tramples little chickens with their army boots. It's not someone who comes up with an elaborate scheme that's brilliantly evil and clever and tricky and wonderful to savor, you know, the villainy that they've done. There's not an Agatha Christie murderer among them. They're just dull, stupid, mud boot people. They're mud boot people. They're people that tread over the
term hobnail boots. Stomping puppies with hobnail boots.
Yes, but by accident, they sort of plod through a litter of kittens, and they're like trying to grab the last brownie off the counter, and they trample the kitten. It's like, oh my God, that kind of evil deserves to be dealt with. The way I deal with it is to pick up a shovel from my garden shed, to swing it high and wide over my head, and to bring it down on the head of that oaf. It's like, what are you going to do with that person? You just don't. What can you do with this kind of banality? And that's what Texas revels in. Rolls around in the pigsty of I'm stupid and I'm glad to be stupid.
And proud
the Constitution
of it, yes.
Says I get to be the dumbest person in the world. That's what Thomas Jefferson and George Washington built was I get to be stupid because the Constitution guarantees me being able to say the world is flat. It's like, really?
You know?
Okay.
Asimov, great science fiction writer, his famous quote is, in today's stupid, there is a prolific aspect of ignorance, and it's like with the belief, democracy means that my ignorance is just as good as your well-learned aspects.
Oh yes. Oh, my God, yes. That is absolutely what we've seen. My ignorance is just as valid as your intelligence, your schooling.
Yeah,
there you go.
And
you can lay claim to it. You can take it. It's yours.
but it's really disturbing. I mean, it's very, very, very disturbing.
Oh, no, that's the truth. That's the mindset of it, yeah. The key to logical argumentation, English 101, or even advanced, high school English, where you learned critical thinking, logical argumentation, you write your papers on that, it's totally lost now on, I'd say, about 90% of the population. They have no clue.
My discouragement, or my heartbreak, I should say, is that nature is nature is more blind than she should be. If only she would like selectively kill. But the problem is that these mask haters, these mask deniers, some of them are lucky genetically, and their immune systems they do not fall victim to COVID, but they carry it into a place where someone who is vulnerable and has been careful and has been washing their hands, has been safe distancing and wearing masks, but those people run more of a risk of getting it from some, you know, buffoon who walks into a department store or to a grocery store and says, I don't have to wear a mask because Thomas Jefferson said, I don't have to. It's like, it's like, and the heartbreak for me is that Texas, that the climate and the roof collapsing and everything in Texas didn't kill the people that voted for Abbott and Cornyn and Cruz. It's like, there are all sorts of people that are going to freeze to death in their cars or, you know, die of carbon monoxide poisoning who, you know, did not want to, you know, have this happen. And it's just whatever. It's
well, and
yeah,
you know, there's an opportunity here for you know, just as we've what has befallen humanity globally are all of these. I mean, to the background of the constant droning of the, you know, bring out your dead plague. It's funny.
Right.
You got to find the humor in it. But here's to the constant background of that, you have all of these crises happening elementally, which the elements are the planet speaking to us and saying, hey,
right.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it forces, think of all the neighbors that have to work together right now. There's opportunities for good here because in every catastrophe, there is some sort of, it's a matter of balance. And basically, I think, where Mummy hits the nail so squarely on the head with how can these people get away with this? And, you know, it's just their ignorance is incredible. You still have to sit back and take a deep breath and go, well, we'll see what comes of that. And, you know, you got to wonder, do you think these people will wake up?
Unfortunately, we just passed the milestone. Not one worth bragging about, but 500,000 people now have died of COVID. That's more than all that died in World War I, World War II, Vietnam, our wars in the last century.
Yeah.
That
together.
Could have all been
put together.
By
shocking.
Taking precautions.
Shocking. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I'm reminded of the time.
Precautions.
I'm reminded of the fact that it's the 22nd of February, okay? The 29th. Mm-hmm. Which was only in a leap year, of course. Please don't call in and say, Mummy, you're stupid. So February 29th, 2020 was a leap year, okay, boys and girls?
Right.
And last year, if I'm not mistaken, February 29th was the day that stinking, jiggling bag of orange monkey pudding with a comb over got on TV, international news, and declared that COVID was, quote, a Democrat hoax, and that it would disappear, that we are not even a year from that yet. So it hasn't been a year since that incident happened, and that 500,000, it's now up to 510 or something,
thousand
Americans died. It's just the economy collapsed, all of this stuff. This has all happened, and it is absolutely astounding how life has changed for so many people. The ripple effect in all directions is astounding.
I'm a big fan of John Nash's game theorem. And thing is you mentioned about the economic aspect. I don't think we've seen – this is just the tip of the iceberg. We haven't seen the cause and effect. Aspect, I'll say it like that, because people who haven't been able to work are able to make their car payments, their house payments. The malls have been devastated because they basically have had to shut down. There's all big-ass bank loans out there for all this commercial business loans, personal loans of homes and cars. At the end of Bush and Cheney calamity, when they destroyed the economy by not following any, allowing the banking industry to just run amok without any checks and balances and devastated us in 2007, which, you know, Obama had to pull us out of it. I don't think we've seen – well, we're seeing the tip of the iceberg. We don't even see the iceberg of a potential banking failure.
I agree.
That we had back in 2007. Think about that. John Nash's game theorem.
Gwendolyn and I talked about the fact around Election Day, I said that my heartbreak about Biden winning was that I feared that with Biden and the Democrats in charge of Congress, the Senate, you know, and then the White House, that they will be presiding over the crash and depression that hits. And then that will be the Nazi Party, you know, and I include all red voters in that. All red voters.
You're all part of it. Yeah.
They will blame the Democrats for the crash and the depression. And it's like, no, this is stuff that was going on. You know, the Today Show, I watched the Today Show on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenna Bush was on, and I have, from the day that she was first hired, many years ago now, you know, I always mocked her for being fit only to do 4-H club reporting and brownie recipe announcements. Here she is on the Today Show. I mean, she has no credentials or qualifications to have been hired for the Today Show ever. And this slight improvement that she's doing in her delivery, the slight improvement that she's managed over the last 5 or 6 years is so minuscule. It's a thimbleful of, you know, talent. But she was on there, and her news story for the day, God damn her, was how people, apropos of what you were saying, Gwendolyn, neighbors are pulling together in Texas way, and they're all pulling, and look, churches are donating, and they're doing, and Texas, and brotherhood, and sisterhood, and neighborly, and they're neighborly, and George finally had to leave the bedroom, because I was yowling at the TV set. I kept calling her, and I won't say the words, but graphic and that anatomical detail, graphic anatomical detail at the screen saying, "You shit eating bitch, your father and his pal, Dick Cheney, and frankly, your grandfather are the parents of Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't come out of nowhere. Your family planted the seeds and giggled about what was going to come, and it bloomed into an even more evil tree than you had hoped or thought. But you're the one. For you to be on there as a billionaire with no talent, aw shucksing us about all look at the churches and look at the Abyssinian churches giving away food and is trying to take care of people. What are you talking about? You are Governor Abbott. You are Midlands or whatever, Texas. You are that. You're the reason Texas is a dump. And for you to get on there as some feel-good fart girl and tell us that this is, isn't it wonderful to look at people making a pie and sharing it with their neighbors? You're a whore. You are a Republican whore.
Right.
She's out being pimped around as, you know, the street walking whore to take any kind of load that anybody's going to deliver to her.
Her mother is a please start reading Stepford wife. She was always a zombie. And her grandmother, Barbara Bush, who I am surprised was not revealed to be a man. You know, I mean, if that wasn't a football linebacker, I don't know what was. She had infinitely more testosterone than her husband. You know, her husband was a big sissy, but I mean, she would lumber through the room and the sofa would vibrate. But the bottom line was that Barbara Bush was the biggest Connecticut snob. And by the way, boys and girls from the Nutmeg State, I'm from Connecticut too. My folks are Connecticut. So I can say that she wouldn't have touched the whole thing about the Bushes were the kind of people that you'd go to a roadhouse and have a brewski with. Barbara Bush wouldn't step over you. She wouldn't even be near you, Texan people. You people sort of embrace them to yourself. They were Nutmeg State people. They were old New England, Connecticut people. They had nothing to do with you. Nothing.
Right.
And so for Jenna Bush and that drunk twin of hers, you know, to be out there going, I surely do like people who make preserves in this disaster and share them with each other. It's like, don't you shut up. Judas Priest.
Sybil, you have such a talent. I adore it. You paint with words beautifully.
Barbara Bush.
Well, sometimes I use the three things.
She was the torpedo
woman. I use a three-hair sable brush. You know, speaking as someone who's been a house painter off and on through my life, you know, in addition to being a waitress and a bartender and all the different things I had to do as for a living, I was a house painter or a house pintriatrix, as the case may be, for many years. And believe me, I can paint with a three-hair sable brush, but I can also paint with a wide 12-inch roller. And I'm telling you, there are times when you want to pop open that Benjamin Moore paint and hurl it against the wall. Jenna Bush is walking through the room, pop the paint open. Don't bother to stir it. Just give it a hurl right at her. It's like ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Wayne, what do you think the upshot of this is going to be, though? Do you think that – because my heartbreak is that in 2 years when Ted Cruz is comes up for election or whatever it is, people have short memories, especially stupid people. What?
Yeah, he's a senator, so he's 6 years. He just won against I can't think of his name. Starts with a B. One guy that's actually doing the job.
No. Ted Cruz was just reelected, right?
Yes. So he's got 6 years.
I know O'Rourke is doing the job. He might have been elected to the job, but Beto O'Rourke has been for the last 2 weeks.
No, of course.
I forgot
Mitch McConnell. It was horrible. Mitch McConnell, Ted Cruz. There were some that were reelected just this time. Oh, my God, 6 years.
Right. So I guess in summation, to come full circle here in the conversation, is 6 years from now, people won't remember. Billy Bob, cousin humping, two-tooth vagabond, won't remember a damn thing because the propaganda conservative bullshit machine will have their head all turned right into tapioca pudding.
Yeah.
I don't know. The ongoing COVID and everything that's being revealed weekly about what has happened in the past 4 years, and I don't know. I have a feeling that things are definitely going to take a turn. I think they're going to take a turn too because they're just going to have to. We're coming to the physical abrupt stop of all of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel about this, but when I love Gwendolyn for so many reasons. And one of the things I love about Gwendolyn is that she's very clear eyed. She sees things. She's not Pollyanna, but she does consistently predict things will be better.
Oh, yeah,
that things are rolling forward. And I try to feel that way too.
Glenn, I have to ask you, how many years have we been together and doing things together? And has it been 5, 6 years? Well, hell, I was out in Columbus 6 years, and we were doing it then, right?
Yeah, 7 years about.
I was going to say, and I've been home 2 years, so we've been together about 8 years. But 8 years plus. So I have to go back to your question. She is amazing. She has I'm an old Navy guy. You confront me, I want to bring out my battle axe, right? And claymore your head in half. She is more tolerant. She is more mothering and stuff.
I'm a woman.
She keeps me kind of on a brings me back down.
When I get angry, and I don't paint with Daisy. I have painted some very dark canvases on the shows in the last 2 years. I have painted some really dark stuff because that's what's happening. There's always a balance, though, guys. You got to remember, there's always a balance.
You're right.
While we're losing, a lot of people are crossing and, these catastrophes and crises are befalling us one after another. Well, take a look at your history. Mummy's good with history. I mean, at every change of millennia, every two millennia, we have a new age, zodiac age, astrologically speaking or astronomically speaking. We're in a new stellar zone. And the energy shifts. And when it does, there's always the tower falling down, and we have to build it back up. And it's a choice that we make. And right now, some of the stuff that we have available to us to take up the slack, like this technology, this global consciousness. I talk to people in India on my Facebook video chat. I talk to people in New Zealand or Paris. I have a drink with Trevor in Glastonbury once a month over a video Zoom. So, I mean, we're all reaching out. And the connective quality to that is pretty stunning. And people are forming very, very good relationships. And on the other balance to that, we have QAnon. You follow where I'm going here, right?
Yes,
so
of course.
In no time in history does it get, you just have to see it. You have to look for it, really, because it's so easy to see all the calamity. But when these ages change, there's always this incredible scales of balance going on with what's happening, what's changing, what's dying, what's being birthed, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's just hope they pull it down off of the good wood. We need to get rid of patriarchy. That's just it. 6,000 years is too much.
Right.
Those that have been, I had a very good friend, a very good family friend. He was also one of my school teachers, but he got his law degree from Johns Hopkins. And one of his statements, matter of fact, he was the lawyer who represented Norm Gardner. Many people don't know who Norman Gardner is, but Norman Gardner was the CIA agent that Ollie North reported to. In the Iran-Contra, Eugene Lovell represented Norman Gardner, and he took great pride that his man was the only one who wasn't indicted. Anyway, but his famous quote was, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
And the patriarchs of Mitch McConnell, perfect example. Ted Cruz, perfect example. Right? Those that have been there, Lady G.
Autocrats all over the planet.
Autocrats.
But mommy,
they have been it too long. They have absolute power. And that absolute power has corrupted them and our government in general.
We're about out of time, and yes, you're absolutely right. We're almost out of time. I just want to say that sometimes the smallest thing in front of our very eyes can be a sign of hope. And I just have to say that commercials for oatmeal right now have biracial couples and same-sex couples. You'll see an oatmeal commercial for Quaker Oats, and they will show a montage of people enjoying their Quaker Oats, and it'll be a biracial couple, and then the next one will be two gay guys. You'll see a commercial for Chevrolet, and it'll be a biracial couple, and then you'll see two lesbian women buying a Chevrolet with their child. The world indeed only does spin forward. It does not spin backward, and with any luck,
that's where
we're going. Anyway, we are out of time. Wayne, I'm so glad you called in. Will you please be more regular guests, a visitor to our program?
I promise you I will. Yes.
And I'm going to make sure that – good. I'm going to make sure I pour myself some Sunday martinis and join you on your show on Sunday evenings.
Well, bravo. Bravo. Glad to have you. It's always a party when you show up.
Well, I'm sorry that sometimes I singe the furniture. Sometimes my sense of humor results in a cigarette burn on the sofa arm or something. I can get a little scorchy there. I want to thank Wayne for joining us. I want to remind everyone that we have been, this has been Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio. Our wonderful executive producer, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, was with us tonight. And, of course, we're on Blog Talk Radio every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. So you have to do the math. Mommy can't do it for you. Our sponsor this week, as always, is DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you. Thank you. You can find us on Facebook, all of us. You can find Mummy at SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com and SybilBrunchen.com and on the Lollipop Guild and on my YouTube channel. We'll see you next Monday night at 8 p.m. Love you, Gwendolyn. Love you, Wayne. Good night, everybody.
Right back at you. Thank you and good night.